don't have to. Here's John Williams.
Hey, what happened? That doesn't bode well. Hi, it's John. It's 9:12. Little upcut there on the morning show all the way till noon. If that's the only mistake we make today, it'll be an excellent program. We're here weekdays from 9 to noon. Saturdays, you can catch my show. And remember, The Mincing Rascals is the podcast we record. We'll do it this afternoon. Listen for it around 5 or 6 this evening when it drops. If you listen to podcasts, if you're interested in local news and commentary, lots of that in The Mincing Rascals. By the way, Steve Grzanich in the newsroom was talking, and I was sort of complaining about that equation. I almost wish you didn't know, because forever people have been eating candy bars, and they didn't stress about it. They kind of look like they look, and they live natural, healthy lives. And then they say, well, every time you eat a candy bar, you've got to walk for, what was it, 46 minutes? I don't want to walk for 46 minutes just because I ate a candy bar. So I kind of wish I didn't know that.
So just run for 23 minutes,
right. Yeah. All right. Well, go. Hooray. Easier. That solves my problem.
Yeah. Or just plan to shop at a store that's 46 minutes from your house and walk there.
Then yeah, right. Exactly.
And you can walk back, and you got double. You can eat two.
Yeah. So the other part of this, though, is so let's say you eat 2,000 calories or 2,500 calories a day.
Okay.
What if you're, and we generally burn those calories that we eat. So if you cancel something else out and have the 230 calorie candy bar and let's say not have lunch, then you wouldn't have to do that exercise,
and
right?
That sort of math sort of automatically happens in our lives anyway. So I think it's good to have the calorie count on McDonald's menus and this label that you're describing on candy bars, but I don't want people to stress about it too much. Is maybe, and by that I mean I don't want to stress about it too much. I've been reading the Bible called The Body, A Guide for Occupants, this book about the human being, the body, by Bill Bryson. And he says this. He quotes a researcher who said it's pretty simple. In principle, we should just, this is a guiding rule for your life. Eat less added sugar, less refined grain, and more vegetables. If you just think less sugar, less refined grain, white bread, donuts, and more vegetables, you'll be good to go. And then he says this. There's a really easy way to do food shopping in the supermarkets. I've heard this before, and he repeats it in this book. Just stick to the outer aisles. The aisles in between are almost entirely filled with processed foods. If, when shopping, you stick to the outside of the grocery store, think about how that marches around, you will automatically have a healthier diet.
Because that's where all the refrigeration is.
That's where the fruits and vegetables
and,
are.
And the fish.
The fresh meat.
And the deli.
The vegetables.
Yeah.
The wine.
Good
so anyway,
point.
That's the way to shop.
Did you say the wine?
I did.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I see a stack of donuts on the table there by the vegetables.
So. I know, they do that to us.
Except the bakery's always around there,
I
too.
I need to know about the forecast. Yeah. Before you start with that, though, Steve Grzanich, just a quick note. The news click was about Anthony Rizzo and the Cubs. Andy, I'm going to plague you with this conversation check a few bits of business here. So WGN TV last night had a story about Anthony Rizzo being unhappy with the Cubs, and the Cubs not giving him the love that maybe he wants. CBS Sports had that story.
Yeah.
Chicago Tribune had that story. Mm-hmm. Chicago Sun-Times had that story. Yesterday, our friend Sam Panionovich called in on the show, and he was hot on this topic.
I know.
And he was angry. He was almost advocating for poor Anthony Rizzo. Part of that conversation yesterday goes like this.
He took a very, very team-friendly deal. 7 years, $41 million. That's peanuts compared to what some of these other guys around the league are getting and have gotten since then. But Rizzo has been driving home the point. Look, I want to be here forever. I want to be a Cub for life. And Jed Hoyer and Theo Epstein, they haven't really, they don't seem to care that he's serious about this. And the guy that I talked to said, look, he's reaching a melting point here. He is very frustrated, and he wants everybody to know.
There are few more liked, more talented, more lovable athletes in this city than Anthony Rizzo. And Panionovich was saying that the Rickets have money to spend, but they don't seem to want to spend it on their marquee players. Producer Ellefcutt, too.
For the last 5 years, you have bought up every single piece of real estate in Wrigleyville, and you have put sponsors all over that damn video board, and you do everything to make money and print money. And when it comes to extending and making the de facto captain of your club happy, all of a sudden you're hesitant. Well, why is that? If I were to tell you after they won the World Series 3 years later that they would have let Joe Maddon walk, that the front page of the Tribune would say, let's trade Chris Bryant, and that they wouldn't extend their captain, what would you have said? That's my question to you.
I didn't have an answer to that. The news click at WGNradio.com, our daily web poll question yesterday, this morning still is, should the Cubs get rid of Chris Bryant? That's what we were talking about originally.
Correct.
And then we went down the Rizzo road. And 64% of you said, no, don't get rid of Chris Bryant. 29% of you said, yeah, if the price is right. And about 7% said, no, let's just get rid of him and be done with the Chris Bryant headache. Rizzo's kind of in that camp, and I just don't understand why the Cubs aren't. Maybe they do, but I want them to appreciate maybe the significance of what Panionovich is saying, to which you say,
I say, get 2 years left on your contract, just play. You know, I mean, listen,
you don't think this is the percolating crisis that the media, and by that I mean me, are making it out to be.
I just think it's a story that's been told 1,000 times, and sometimes with the Cubs, sometimes with other franchises. I mean, when's the last time you really saw a face of the Cubs franchise start his career there and end his career there? Just, it doesn't happen these days. It doesn't happen anymore, whether it be for declining skills, whether it be for a team up against it, whether it be for other financial reasons.
You think Rizzo's too old to bank on with a long-term contract?
What I'm saying is they have 2 years to deal with this. It's not like they have to deal with this today.
The man on the radio said he's furious. And this is no way to treat a guy going into the extension year.
Hey, listen, you know, players are all about respect, and I get that, and I understand that completely. But organizations are also responsible financially to their ownership, and if their ownership is telling them, listen, we're going to wait this out. I think I told you guys yesterday. I mean, I'm thinking seriously that they are waiting to find out exactly how this marquee network thing goes over, because That's a big payday for them. That's a huge windfall of cash for them if it's a successful thing, which I don't know if it is or not.
Oh, well, that isn't that an interesting part of the story?
Yeah.
A Cubs fan I know has taken into the habit now, this is a good friend of mine, of wearing a White Sox hat because he doesn't want to put the word Cubs on his head anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he wears a ball cap all the time. He's got a real cool White Sox hat. He's not a big White Sox fan, but that's the hat he's wearing right now. And he doesn't love the team that he's loved right now because of marquee, because of some of the politics last year.
A lot of changes.
Some of the player issues and how they dealt with Russell last year and this year. And here we are now. It's December, and the Cubs still can't buy a good buy line.
Yeah.
It's marquee. Hey, guess what? You're going to pay to watch the Cubs next year. Not much more than you did last year. It's baked into the price of your cable bill, but it's going to be there, and people feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And then their two favorite players in town, two of them are those guys, and it's bad press. If nothing else, I think the Cubs should pay better attention to the optics of this stuff.
Okay. Well, the optics are one thing, but the other thing is that you never, as an organization, want an agent to start negotiating through the media, because it doesn't do anybody any good. I mean, it happens, yeah, and I'm not stupid enough to think that it doesn't, because I've been around it. I've seen it happen plenty of times during my career around the game of baseball. But at the same time, I don't see this as big a crisis, I think, as everybody is making this sound to be right now. Now, if this was 2 years from now, we're talking, and they haven't talked to him about an extension, well, yeah, then we got a problem. That means they don't want you. Because they haven't talked to you yet doesn't mean anything to me, because they have Javi Baez still coming up. They've got Wilson Contreras still coming up. If they keep Chris Bryant, they've got him for 2 more years. So, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are going to be up at the same time.
I got 24 seconds left.
Okay.
How is Anthony Rizzo, Andy Mazur, going to get along on $32 million over the next couple of years?
You know, I think he's going to be just fine.
Right,
you know
fine.
What? This is a real charitable guy, a real class act. I don't mean to say anything bad about him as a human being.
I hope I'm not either.
Yeah, because he is one tremendous guy. A lot of work in the community with the cancer patients and families, and helping them out financially. He's going to be fine, and I think this thing will all work itself out.
WGN Radio.
I just wanted to tell you that a couple of days, or maybe a week or so ago, I had a painter working at my house, and I gave him a partial payment check, and he said, oh, I have to kiss you. And before I knew it, I turned my head quickly, and he actually kissed me. And I was so shocked, I couldn't react at the time. Days later, I had to go back. He could tell my attitude, demeanor toward him had changed. And he said, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And I said, no, you shouldn't have done that. You should never do that. And he said, oh, well, times have changed. I said, it's unacceptable behavior. I don't know that men understand how unwanted that kind of behavior is toward us. It was horrible and disturbing.
I love traffic. I love the colors yellow and green. I like talk radio when they talk about things.
A call yesterday just kind of blew my mind. I mean, we've had these conversations, and evidently not everybody's getting the memo. That didn't happen in the 1970s. That happened a week or two ago, she said. And the guy just kissed her. And he thought that was part of the payment or part of his charm as the painter guy. I would have torn the check up. Although that's stemming from our conversation yesterday. It was a brief one. We're actually going to go back to a little of that in the 11 o'clock hour. We got a lot of texts from people describing how this thing is still going on. And it all stems from the conversation about that Savannah reporter who is standing there covering a race over a bridge. I don't know if it was a marathon. Maybe it was a 5K. Everybody's running by, mugging for the camera. And as she's standing there, a guy comes by and swats her on the behind. Turns out that guy is a youth minister. And he's in like a scout volunteer. And he's like this good pillar of the community who said, boy, I'm really sorry about that. And some people aren't having it. And the really interesting thing, well, cancel that. Twitter took after this guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, if they find him, his life is in jeopardy. People, this mob mentality builds up and it's another thing unto itself. He shouldn't do that. The ladies all have great points that called in on our show, the men too. An attorney called in and said, I'm sorry, that's assault. You can say I'm sorry, but that's the definition of assault. And then when the mob on the internet gets after you, it's another thing. A little while ago, Steve Grzanich did a story about how packaging on candy bars is going to... I'm sorry, Steve, I may be misrepresenting what you said, but it's how... The label on a candy bar will demonstrate how much exercise you have to do to burn off the calories in the candy bar.
Yeah, it's called the physical activity calorie equivalent label or PACE label that will do exactly what you just said.
And are they going to do that on all candy bars, or well, some of them are volunteering that?
It right now is just an idea. I don't think there's no plans to actually formally do it. This is something that health experts say would help if they did do it.
224. Text in, as a packaging designer, we got all kinds of listeners. Adding the calorie burn information to the information on the back would be an absolute nightmare. We can barely fit what we need to fit on the labels now. Well, I guess they'll have to get around that. Look what they did to cigarette packages in Europe. I mean, it can change, but yeah, I get your point. 630, please talk about the Elmhurst family whose child's ashes were stolen from their house. Absolutely bizarre, absolutely tragic. We will a little later on. And about the Cubs conversations we've been having the last couple of days, even though Andy wants no part of it.
Well, I just don't think there's
it's a big deal. Yeah. It's not a thing yet. Somebody sent us a picture of a black flag around their Cubs flag in their yard. Hmm. Somebody else texted in, I'm having a funeral for my Cubs stuff. 815, though, said, John, that'll be the day I wear a Sox hat. Not happy about the changes with the Cubs, but sorry, a Sox fan would not wear a Cubs hat either. It's just how it is. So that remains. Yesterday, Jack Black was on the red carpet promoting the sequel to the Jumanji film he's in. The lady comes up to Jack Black from Variety magazine, and she asks him, because it's Christmas time, about Christmas movies.
What would you say is your number one holiday film that you have to watch every year?
My favorite holiday film, you know what? It's got to be Elf. Because once again, Jon Favreau, I don't know if I'm saying it right, and Will Ferrell just knocking it out the park.
The humility. You could have said your own movie.
Do I have a Christmas movie? Which one is mine? Oh, The Holiday. Obviously The Holiday. Nancy Myers, genius. Let's do this.
Then he says, let's do this, and just walks off. I came home last night. My family was watching The Holiday. I have poo-pooed that movie for years. Not a big Cameron Diaz fan. Big Kate Winslet fan.
I don't even know which The Holiday. What is that?
It's it's about a woman in England and a woman in Los Angeles, and they switch houses because both of them are having crises in their lives. And when they move into each other's house, they find love and romance and beautiful Nancy Meyer settings. And
I've never seen it.
Lush music, and it's kind of fun. There is a scene where, well, we don't have time for it here, do we, Ella?
Does it have good music?
It does. And it's got great clothes and it's got great interiors. It's a Nancy Meyer movie. It's called The Holiday. 949, this is WGN. The American Lung Association is driving life-saving change. Air pollution poses a serious threat to our health. It triggers asthma attacks, sends people to emergency rooms, shapes how kids' lungs develop, and can even be deadly. The American Lung Association works to ensure that the air we breathe is clean and safe by advocating for clean air laws. By donating your car to the Lung Association, you're helping them drive life-saving change. Call 800-LUNG-CARS or visit lungcars.org. The American Lung Association, driving life-saving change. It's 949. This is WGN Radio. John Williams here. House panel is debating the impeachment articles before the vote. Expected to be, my understanding is, first part of next week. But there they are on TV right now. The markets are up with a tweet. The president moves markets around the world, and now they're back up again. And yesterday, Kim Fox, the Cook County State's attorney, was standing with the governor and others front of the microphones, and they were talking about this pot expungement law in Illinois, and all of the counties too, I guess. Kim Fox, among other things, said this.
As a prosecutor who's previously prosecuted these cases, we must own our role in the harm that we have caused, and particularly to communities of color. And we must actively work to play our part in reversing those harms.
Okay, so I think she's got a point there. But if I was a prosecutor who had worked on cases and convictions for people who were illegally using, possessing, or distributing pot, I don't know that I would appreciate the characterization of the harm that I had caused, right? I mean, people broke the law. You didn't write the law. If you're a lawyer or a prosecutor, your job is to prosecute the cases brought before you. And Kim Fox is characterizing that process as being harmful and unfair to the people that were convicted. And the convictions and prosecutions and arrests were disproportionate. Understood that. But I don't know that the prosecutors per se were the problem. Okay, that's just a sidebar. I'm as interested in anything right now, though, as what happens with those expungements. And we reached out to some folks from the Prairie State Legal Services. They know a little bit about this. Lacey Burpee is on the phone. Lacey, it's John Williams. Thanks for joining the show today. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about this project that you've been working on. What's that do?
Sure. So I'm on the Ready to Work project. It's in a couple of our offices across the northern part of the state, and we help people get back to work, removing legal barriers. And a lot of that has been removing criminal records, either through sealing or expungement.
If it's sealed, it's still a record, but it's a sealed record. If it's expunged, it's more or less like it never happened, right?
Correct. So an expungement is going to not be visible to even the courts and law enforcement. If you have a sealed case, most people aren't going to see it. There are a few exceptions to that.
I know there's three buckets in which these cases tend to fall. And let's just talk about the first one for a minute. That is, if I or my kid or somebody I know has been arrested and charged and convicted with marijuana use, that's going to show up when I'm applying for a job or a promotion or housing or an education, stuff like that, right?
It will.
And do I have to do anything to get it expunged? Do I need to fill out forms, get an attorney, or is it just automatically going to happen?
So it depends. So there are three categories, like you said. Would you like me just to quickly go through the three categories?
Do the first one first, the easiest one.
Okay. So the easiest one is automatic expungement. So you don't have to do anything. Those are for minor cannabis offenses that have happened. The arrest was more than a year ago. It's a violation of the Cannabis Control Act. It can't have been for more than 30 grams of pot, and there couldn't have been a sentencing enhancement for those cases. Where no criminal charges were filed or there was a criminal case filed, but the case was dismissed, or they didn't go forward with it. Those are automatically expunged without you having to do anything. However, there is a timeline for that to happen. So it's not going to be immediate on January 1st. Cases after 2013 are expunged by 2021. If you're looking at cases prior to 2000, they have until 2025.
Okay, hold right there. So after 2013, meaning over the last 6 years, they'll get that expungement done within 12 months after the first of the year. And then when that happens for that group of people, if I have to check a box and it says, have you ever been convicted, do I get to check no since it's been expunged?
You do get to check no under the law. That question, it kind of has an implied it's kind of implied that it doesn't include those expunged and sealed records.
Got it. Okay, now go to the second group. This is people that have had maybe a little more marijuana with them, right?
So this is for still having the not more than 30 grams of cannabis, but there's been a conviction in the case.
I see.
So there was a case filed and you were convicted.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And then what about that? Is it kind of the same treatment for those people? I don't have to do anything. It's going to happen.
So it's similar for just your general person. It's going to feel probably about the same. In that case, the state police give the records to the prisoner review board. They review it. In some cases, they send it to the state's attorney and then make a recommendation to the governor on whether the case should be whether there should be a pardon and it should be expunged. If the governor makes that recommendation, the attorney general files for those expungements, so people don't need to do anything for those either.
Okay, but that sounds like a lot of steps to me. Even if I don't have to do anything, are they going to, on a case-by-case basis, review all of those convictions, or are they going to be done en masse?
It looks like they may be doing them case by case under the law. I'm not sure how it's all going to pan out. I think we'll see after the first of the year how this is working in practice, but it's probably going to take some time.
A lot of people, though, who have marijuana convictions also have other charges against them. I just have about a minute left here, but in those cases, it's a little more complicated, right?
Sure. So if you have other cases, or if you have a misdemeanor conviction or a more serious case under this cannabis law, then you can ask the court to help you seal or you can petition to have them to have your records sealed or expunged by filing a petition with the court and asking the judge to make a decision.
If I wanted help with some of this, does Prairie State Legal Services give people guidance along these lines?
So Prairie State does provide information and assistance with this in some of our offices, and we're looking to expand that with the new Cannabis Control Act. We help low-income families, so people can reach out to us. Cabrini Green Legal Aid in the city does a lot of records. Land of Lincoln in the southern half of the state, and Illinois Legal Aid Online is also a great resource for anyone who's just looking for more information.
What's your website if I was going to start with you guys, Lacey?
Sure. It's pslegal.org.
Prairie State Legal Services, pslegal.org. Lacey, you've been helpful so far. I'm going to keep calling you. You can help us again down the road. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lacey Burpee is a staff attorney with Prairie State Legal Services. This time yesterday, I was just reminding you that if you follow me on social media, WGN King John on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, you'll be able to see the picture of Ryan Burrow from our newsroom, Steve Bertrand from our newsroom, and me all sporting our fancy Christmas sweaters and outfits.
Burrow really did steal the show.
He really did. His picture is just so catalog model ready.
You can tell he pretends to be a model at home.
Evidently he does, because he's got it down and the look was working, Steve. Lots of text poured in. Here's my favorite. You guys look like a library staff in Iceland. We look like a library staff from Iceland.
My sweater was from Iceland.
Barbara texted in and said, great people wearing great sweaters. Merry Christmas. Somebody else said, Bertrand looks like Abe Lincoln here. He could do an Abe Lincoln presidential show for you. Kristen McQuarrie in the Chicago Tribune simply put, nailed it. Janet texted in and said, WGN's got elves. Anyway, WGNRadio.com. Actually, I don't think it's on the station page. I wonder why. It certainly is on my social media pages. I'm WGN King John, if you want to have a yuck at our expense. The president was trying to have a yuck at somebody else's expense, and it was that 16-year-old Greta Thunberg, who is the Time Magazine Person of the Year. Steve did the story a moment ago. The president tweeted, "So ridiculous. Greta must work on her anger management problem, then go to a good old-fashioned movie with a friend. Chill, Greta, chill," the president cautioned her. Of course, she's well known for that speech she gave to the United Nations more than once now. Famously, she said,
"This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you?"
That's the famous part. I mean, it goes on. It was a full address.
Well, you know what she did today, right?
I know how she changed her Twitter profile.
Okay, good.
Her Twitter profile now reads, there's a picture of her, and then the description of her reads, "A teenager working on her anger management problem, currently chilling and watching a good old-fashioned movie with a friend." Hey, I got one for you, Greta. If you're looking for a good old-fashioned movie with a friend, I mentioned this earlier. I do want to play a scene for you just to relate my affection for this movie now and one scene in it. Jack Black was in the news yesterday, actually, talking about it, and he's one of the co-stars. Variety magazine asked him what's his favorite Christmas movie, and he said he liked, I think, The Elf, right? And they go, "Well, why didn't you mention your own movie?" And he didn't remember that he was in The Holiday. He goes, "Oh, yeah, Nancy Meyer, genius, thanks." It's nothing to be ashamed of. The Rotten Tomatoes score, though, from the smart people, the Rotten Tomatoes score is 40% for The Holiday, but the audience score is double that. So folks like it more than maybe some fancy pants. But it stars Jude Law, and he looks all Jude Law. And Cameron Diaz is gorgeous, and I'm a big Kate Winslet fan, and she's lovely in this movie. And then there's Jack Black looking as handsome as he can. And there's a scene in the movie where Jude Law, who's a widow, and Cameron Diaz, who's his new love interest, are sitting with his kids. And it's Christmas time, and these girls like that there's a nice, friendly female face in the house, and they suggest that they all go to their room and sort of camp out in the little tent they set up.
Come inside.
How?
Lie down.
Okay.
Here, Amanda, you can use my pillow.
Thank you.
Lie down.
Can you please stop being so bossy?
Excuse me.
This is an exceptionally great tent.
Mm-hmm. It's got something, hasn't it?
It's cozy.
Yeah.
The scene goes on for a few minutes. You know how sometimes when they try and do warm scenes with kids, and they are, at the end of the day, children actors, and they just act like warm, sweet kids, but they're not really? These children are magnificent in this scene, and the adults are too. And it's just one of the sweetest things you'll ever see on TV, particularly the way it's shot. And it's my favorite scene in that movie. It's called The Holiday. Jack Black, you were in it, by the way, and maybe Greta will watch that. The president is an interesting person because he is able to, if you think about it, in the same 24-hour span, watch, fret, and contemplate his possible defense in his own impeachment. Move world markets over 200 points in a day. The market's up 200 because of something he tweeted about China and trade. And at the same time, mock Time Magazine 16-year-old person of the year. I don't have that kind of a brain. I don't know if that means he's especially focused or he's not able to focus at all.
Did you say 24 hours?
I don't know how all of that happens. I think that all happened in a 24-hour span.
It might have been 24 minutes.
Absolutely. I mean, if I had any one of those things on my plate, world economy, my impeachment, Time Magazine, and this snot-nosed little kid I don't like. I don't know what the deal is, but for some reason he doesn't like her. I couldn't do the other two. Give me one of those. I could not get my head around the other two. President of the United States is, even as now I look at CNN, the House panel is debating the articles against him. I don't know what's going on in there. One other note about the impeachment proceedings. We'll visit with a reporter from the New York Times in a few minutes, but they're amazingly concise. I mean, for all of the talk since Trump was a candidate, now as he is nearing the end of his first term, for all of that talk, what the House is trying to do is just contained in a handful of words. It reminds me a little bit of some of the amendments to the Constitution. The Second Amendment is just that big, right? The First Amendment is just that big. We debate it forever. Books are written about these things. But it's a very concise set of words that describe what they're trying to do. We'll get to all of that in just a couple of minutes. It's also interesting to me that Mitch McConnell, and I don't know exactly what this means, Steve. Maybe you do better than I. Senate Majority Leader, I'm reading from CNN, Mitch McConnell, is expected to hold the final vote to acquit the president should he be impeached when a majority of senators believe that his trial has run its course instead of holding the vote on dismissing the articles of impeachment. What's the difference between holding a vote and concluding that the president's not guilty?
You know, I saw that. I didn't look at it too closely, but I think they might just say this. That perhaps they have an option of it being presented to them and them saying this doesn't merit
right.
a trial, so we're going to dismiss these charges.
Exactly.
Toss them out of court like a judge might.
Yeah, no kidding. That's what it sounds like, which I guess doesn't change the fact that the president would have, quote unquote, been impeached in the House.
Right.
You could say, but the Senate never convicted him. Bill Clinton has that luxury. maybe it's a little better to say, not only was I not convicted by the Senate, they threw it out.
They dismissed the charges. Right.
So I guess you got that going for you. Pete Baker is a senior White House correspondent for the New York Times, and he joins us on WGN Radio. Peter, this is John Williams on WGN in Chicago. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. My colleague Steve Bertrand and I were just wondering what the difference between not being convicted by the Senate, that is, the Senate doesn't convict the president, and Mitch McConnell dismissing the charges outright. What's the consequence of that?
Well, the truth is the dismissal outright would require a majority. And I think that Mitch McConnell knows that he's not going to get all of his Republicans on board to simply dismiss it outright. So what he wants to do is actually have enough of a trial that the Republicans like Susan Collins in Maine and Lisa Murkowski in Alaska, those who would insist on having at least some consideration of the charges before voting on them, once they're satisfied that there's been a trial or at least enough of a hearing of the charges, then they might move to a vote that would ultimately acquit the president. As a practical matter, you know, that's just a matter of politics, which one I think you were just saying, the president could say it was dismissed outright or he could say it was acquitted. Either way, he stays in office for the rest of his term, assuming that's what the vote will be. And then we fight it out on the campaign trail.
Is there a head count among Republicans? I mean, I'm surprised that they all wouldn't vote en masse to dismiss as soon as Mitch McConnell asked, or for that matter, that they wouldn't convict. Is there some vacillation among Republican senators?
Yeah, there's a handful of Republicans who are nervous about this and who, you know, not likely to vote to convict him, but also not likely to do something that would be seen as dismissing it out of hand. The Republican leadership is most worried about, as I mentioned, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. There are other Republicans like, obviously, Mitt Romney, Ben Sasse, and others who have been critical of the president over the years who might say, even if they're not willing to convict him, they want to make sure they've given the process a chance to play out rather than looking like they're not taking it seriously. So Mitch McConnell has to worry about losing more than three votes. He can only lose, actually, two votes because he has a 53-47 vote majority in the Senate, and the vice president, we believe, cannot vote and break a tie in an impeachment trial. That's at least the interpretation of some of the scholars we've talked to.
So I understand. If there is a trial in the Senate, do the Republicans get to call Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, or the whistleblower?
Well, that will be up to a majority. If there's a 51 votes to do that, then they could approve that. That's for sure. But again, I was talking with some Senate Republican folks, and they don't think that's likely. They don't want to do that because they don't think they can get a majority, 51 vote majority for that. There would be Republicans who would be very uncomfortable with calling Joe Biden or Hunter Biden. One Senate Republican told me that they're more likely to call Mick Mulvaney or John Bolton than they are to call Hunter Biden or Joe Biden. But that will be something the president asked for. He could put enormous pressure on them to do it, and we'll see, you know, if they were to agree with that or not.
I was debating with some friends whether or not the president would like to talk to the Senate and make his case. Any whispering about that?
He's talked about that, or he's tweeted about that in the past, that he suggested he might want to do that. You could imagine him finding that appealing. He is at heart kind of a showman. He likes to get out and make his own case. He likes to fight back, as he says. So I wouldn't rule it out. It wouldn't be the thing his lawyers would want him to do. I think his lawyers would throw themselves in front of the motorcade and let it run over them before allowing him to do that. Remember, during the Mueller investigation, he said repeatedly, yeah, I'd like to talk to Mueller. I'd like to go in and give my case. And the lawyers basically talked him out of it, and he gave written answers instead.
They were worried that he might perjure himself just because he's so off the cuff, accidentally or intentionally. And if he exactly. were to stand trial and actually be a witness on his behalf, while the Republican attorney would ask appropriate questions that they had coordinated, then the Democrats would get a turn, and that would be where the peril is, right?
Absolutely. No, he's not somebody who's, as we know, he's not somebody who's very disciplined and sticks to a script all the time. He's also not somebody who's known for being, you know, completely forthright and factual and honest about everything he says. So I think that if you're a lawyer for Donald Trump, why would you do that? Especially because you already know you have the votes in hand,
right.
absent some sort of change in circumstance we don't anticipate.
And is there any change that nobody's anticipated? I mean, so we have these two articles, and we've witnessed the bickering in the House, but there have been no real bombshells. In fact, the two charges are rather refined. So there's nothing extraordinary that we didn't anticipate yet, right?
Well, there hasn't been anything that certainly changed Republican minds or changed the public dynamic that we've been now seeing for the last several weeks. The public polls all pretty clearly show a split American public, usually in rounds of 49% for, 47% against, something like that. Pretty close, by the way, to what the popular vote was 3 years ago. It's really interesting. It kind of tells us that the country is really in the exact same place when it comes to Donald Trump that they were in 2016. Somewhat more Americans don't want him to stay in office, but a substantial number do, and those numbers are basically similar. And that's, I think, of course, important. As long as those numbers don't change in some dramatic way, Republicans are not going to feel any need to convict him. We have not seen a bombshell, as you say, that's convinced Republicans to change their mind.
And so we'll all come down to the Ukraine. I mean, forget the Mueller investigation. Forget about the 10,000 lies that he may have told or whatever else you don't like about Donald Trump. It's, was that phone call improper? That's really what this is all about, right?
Well, it comes down to Ukraine. You're right. They have put aside a lot of these other issues that have been debated and explored over the years. The Mueller instance did not end up making these two articles of impeachment. There was a big debate among Democrats behind closed doors about that. Mueller, of course, did not find enough evidence to charge a criminal conspiracy with Russia, but he did outline 10 instances that he said were possibly obstruction of justice, and some of the Democrats wanted to put that in the articles of impeachment, and they decided not to. They decided to be more restrained or conservative about it, stick to a narrower case, as you put it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's an interesting choice on their part. It does come down not just to the phone call, though, I think, to a whole series of actions that are at stake here in terms of the pressure campaign on Ukraine. You may say they weren't impeachable or they were perfectly innocent, but it goes beyond just the one phone call.
Yeah, I think it's funny you say there's no bombshell because everything's always a bombshell.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a transcript of him asking for a favor. In every other world, that would be a bombshell.
Yeah, it was a bombshell, certainly when it came out, but it obviously did generate some criticism even from Republicans, but it has not changed the dynamics in terms of removing him from office or, you know, calling, you know, charging him with high crimes and misdemeanors on the Republican side.
Right.
Remember, of course, Nancy Pelosi once said it had to be a bipartisan thing for impeachment to be successful, and she has a point there because you need a two-thirds vote in the Senate. You can't get there unless you have both parties on board.
Well, they're going to say that the president of the Ukraine said he didn't feel pressured and that the money did get transferred. I know the complications with that, but that's a resonant timeline for people, even though it's flawed for others. But I imagine for a lot of folks, that's going to be sufficient defense, Peter.
Yeah, I mean, the argument you're hearing today, the Judiciary Committee, Republicans saying you don't have a victim because the guy himself, Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, says he wasn't pressured. And he didn't even know that the money was being withheld until later in the process. And the money did go through. Now, what the Democrats are saying is, yeah, the money went through only because the president got caught and he had to kind of give up the money. It wasn't because the lack of trying on his part. It was that, you know, he was being exposed for what he was doing.
The other count. So there's that. And then the other count is that the president hasn't been as forthright as the House would like in either handing them documents or encouraging administration members or former staff members to testify. And since that's a power that the Congress has, the president's lack of cooperation in his impeachment is, in fact, an impeachable offense. He's impeding the constitutional flow of government. That's the Congress's job. So it's kind of a catch-22 for him, but that comes back to the Ukraine call.
Well, it does. He released the transcript of the Ukraine call, as he points out, but that's all he's released. In response to subpoenas and requests for information, he has defied the Congress. He has blocked, as you put it, his current and former aides, some of them, from testifying. The House Democrats will tell you they haven't gotten a single page of documents that they've asked for. And you're right, that does go to the heart of the Congress's power. Now, we might normally see them litigate that, go to court and say, okay, is the president right to claim some kind of immunity, or is he wrong? But they've decided not to because the courts will take too long, in their view. It could drag out for months.
You can read Peter Baker's work in the New York Times. He's the chief White House correspondent there. Their annotated description, December 10th, of the articles and what the various sentences mean. Very helpful. It's a quick read, and I just thought it was terrific. Thanks for your time today, Peter.
Oh, thanks very much. Good talking to you.
You betcha. It's 10:28. This is WGN. I was walking to the train yesterday, and on my path, I found myself not too far from the Millennium Park Christmas tree that the city has set up. The official tree for Chicago is this year. I think it was last year, too, right, at Millennium Park?
Yeah, it's been there for a while.
Have they been doing that? Because I used to think it would be in Daly Plaza.
It used to be in Daly Plaza.
Where the Chris Kindle Market is, I guess that's the Chris Kindle Market, right, at Daly Plaza?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I was going down the street. I think a lot of people will stand right next to the tree to get their picture taken. But if you stand back, say, down a block, and you see it with the buildings framing it on either side, it's beautiful. There aren't many bad views of that thing. And I thought, for those of you looking for an Instagram picture or a Christmas card or the families in the city to do some shopping, let's get a picture taken. Obviously, you want to do Millennium Park and the city's official tree because it's lovely. It really is. But I would encourage you to kind of look for different angles or venues from which to take it. And then I started thinking, Steve, about what are some other great holiday shots for people that are doing that. Like, of course you think that. I think the Chris Kindle Market where I live is lovely, up by Wrigley Field. And the Christmas tree they have there isn't all white lights or all blue lights. They tend to be a little monochromatic these days. It's got a whole bunch of different color lights. And then in there, they have just a few twinkling lights. So the tree really looks like it's glistening. It's gorgeous.
Do they have the disc with different colors to shine on the tree?
Is it... No, they don't.
No?
So I want somebody to put up a 40-foot aluminum tree and get one of those things. Here's what I want you to do. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. I have a few other scenes, if you will, that I think will look lovely in your picture. But I want you to tell me, in the city or the suburb where you live, where the good picture is to take. You've already done it or you've thought about it. Let's all make a list and check it twice.
Oh, I got a good one.
Oh, see? See? Mary's ready. 10:32. By the way, Steve, I just handed a notice from the city of Elmhurst, the police department. There's no news here, but I'm just going to read this because somebody must know something in Elmhurst. Tuesday, December 10th, 2019, 3:43, approximately in the afternoon, the police there responded to a residential burglary. Police believe that the offender entered the house by breaking a side window and entering the home. Once inside, the offender removed collector coins and the cremated remains of a family member. That was a child that died at the age of 10. His twin survives, but the family has always had on the mantle there the cremated remains of the child, and it sounds like it was in a box. And they said maybe the guy went in there stealing coins and whatever else he could get his hands on. He takes the box. Maybe it was gilded and lovely, but it had ashes in there. It would be nice, because the family is devastated. They say, take anything, take everything. Why do you want that? Please give it back. If that person is hearing this or hears about this and says, I don't need this box, find a way to return it. You know, I don't know how you do that, because you want to remain anonymous if you're the criminal. But maybe you know something about this. I am hopeful that somehow this story is made right. Police are in the process of reviewing neighborhood videos. And they've put out their phone number, 630-530-3050, for anybody that knows anything about it. And, you know, if I had to guess, nothing's going to happen. It's just such a shame. And the family's devastated. We get texts the last couple of days from you folks saying, please talk about this. I don't know what else to say about that other than that. But what a shame that story is. So I just saw another article, too. 10 great holiday picks in the city of Chicago. Mary said she has one. So if you're going to do your Christmas card or your pictures, you know, you know what I think is a good one, Mary, is to simply stand on the Michigan Avenue Bridge. And if the camera is facing westward, you have that canyon of steel. And if you're there at dusk, say 4:30, or in the evening, it's all lit up. You might pick up some Christmas lights on a building or two or a window. But it's just a beautiful, bright display. And you'll have your Christmas sweater or scarves on. And I think that's always a great picture. Millennium Park is a good one. The Chris Kindle Market on Clark and Addison is a good one. What were you thinking, Mary?
Well, I live in the western suburbs, and
We need some suburban ones.
Yeah,
here.
Lilacea Park is gorgeous. It's all lit up. They have a bunch of displays. I haven't been there yet this year, but I know a couple of people that went out there to take their Christmas card pictures, and you have to wait till the lights go on. It's after 4:30 sometime, but it's beautiful there.
And this is where?
And, of course, it's in Lombard. Lilacea Park in Lombard.
Got it.
Yeah. Gorgeous place. Another place is the Prairie Path in the western suburbs, which I live on the Prairie Path, and it's always lit up with Christmas trees, and it's really pretty, too.
The Tribune had the Chicago Botanic Gardens and the Morton Arboretum, and zoo lights, if you don't mind, I am so frustrated every year for those of you that are trying to get to zoo lights at Lincoln Park Zoo, because the line of cars is just staggering. They back up onto Lakeshore Drive, and it's just, what are you going to do? But eventually, evidently, you get there, and then you walk around, and that zoo is lit up. It's very fun. And then you go in and look at the animals, too. A lot of them are sleeping, but you get that. When we were there, the second or first night that they were open this year, so the crowds weren't overwhelming. We were able to manage. We went over and looked at the turtles, and for the first time in my life, I saw a turtle move. The turtles were up and they were walking around and doing a bunch of turtle stuff. None of it was fast paced, but I mean, they were turtles. It was really fun to watch. 312-981-7200. Text or call me with that place that you like. The Tribune also has, I'm just looking at their list here. They have the Blackberry Farms. The other one that I don't know how you would coordinate this, but have you seen the... I don't know if it's the red line, but the L train that's all lit up like a Christmas express train.
Yeah, the Christmas train.
That is so fun. But, you know, it went by me the other day, and by the time you get your phone out and switch it to camera, the thing is gone. If they had a schedule saying it's going to run on this track between these times, I don't know, it still maybe would be hard to catch. And I've never ridden on the thing. I'm a little surprised at myself how positively joyful I get when I see the thing, though. It's like, wow, look, it's Santa. And I saw, so help me, a CTA bus that was completely decked out like a holiday package with lights and stuff like that. And I don't know exactly what that's all about. I didn't know they did buses as well. It would almost be nice if they, you know, said the train will be stopped somewhere. I don't know how you do it, but it's fun to see. Anyway, 312-981-7200. Line 1 says Botanic Gardens. This is Tina we'll take. All right. Hey, Tina, this is John. You're on WGN. Where's a good spot for a picture?
Yeah, hi, John. I went with my kids on Saturday to the Botanic Gardens. They have a brand new light show there. It's called Lightscape. It was absolutely amazing.
Really?
We kind of walked a mile through the gardens, and there were sections that were lit differently. They had singing trees. They had lights that kind of dangled, and you walked through them. It was unbelievable. And, man, people just stopped in the middle and took photographs. No one wanted to leave because it was so lovely.
Huh.
It was the best.
And this is at the Botanic Gardens, and this Lightscape is kind of new this year, you say?
It's brand new. It started at the end of November. I think it goes on till January 5th. I don't know if there are tickets available. You can go online and buy tickets in advance. But, man, it was so so much fun. I didn't want to leave. It was so wonderful.
And do you stay in your car, or do you get out and walk around then?
No, you get out and walk around, and they had fire pits, and you could buy s'mores and toast the marshmallows, and you could get cider and hot chocolate. It was just so lovely, and there were lots of little kids, and it was so organized, too. The parking was great. You get, like, a time slot that you have to go in at. We went in at, like, 6:45. But we stayed there for about an hour and a half, just walking through different sort of light exhibits. They were all different. It was so great, John. It was so great.
I'm so glad you're calling in about this. In fact, the Tribune says this about this. Wander into a festive world of wonder and light at Chicago Botanic Gardens Lightscape along a mile-long path. You're absolutely right. The night comes alive with color, imagination, and sound. A playful choir of singing trees, a spectacular waterfall at night. Sometimes you'll find yourself in the center of it all, stepping inside a cathedral of golden light, walking down an avenue of luminous linden trees, moving through colorful ribbons. Oh, that sounds lovely.
It was awesome. It was really great. I would definitely recommend it.
Nice of you to call, Tina. I appreciate your help on that.
You're very welcome. Bye, John.
Have a good day. I mentioned the zoo lights at Lincoln Park Zoo. The Trib also liked the Brookfield Zoo. As I recall, we got out and walked through that one year. And Navy Pier, if you venture back into the city and want to park, Navy Pier probably isn't as much of a hassle as in my mind it is, but you don't just jump out of your car. You got to kind of get there and get over there and then get up there and get out there. But when you do, they say they've got this winter wonderland on Navy Pier, which is very photo-friendly. Joanne, you're on WGN Radio. Good spot for my picture is where, Joanne?
Well, there's some houses that are way over-decorated. And I think it might be kind of fun to just have the family step in front of the houses and take a picture of that.
Yeah. And there, I remember in Westchester, there were some whole blocks. I don't know if they sent out flyers or just people eventually got the idea, but we used to drive up and down a couple of blocks of Westchester, and it was pretty, the slow parade of cars, people just going by, looking out their windows. Yeah. We're easily amused as a species, I would say, but that turns out to be kind of fun.
We have a trolley in Naperville that actually takes you around. It'll take you to the mayor's house. It's all decked out.
Oh, that's funny. Really, you can get a trolley, and that's in Naperville, huh?
Yeah, it's in Naperville, so.
Very nice. Whatever. Joanne, thanks for the call. Hey, Larry, you're on WGN. Larry, you got any suggestions or advice for us?
Two things. The CTA website has a schedule for their holiday trade, so you can look it up there.
Got it.
And then also Garfield Park Conservatory, their showroom has their Christmas show going on, so that's a great place for pictures.
So if I go to the CTA website, it'll tell me when and where, essentially, the holiday bus or train is going to be?
Yes.
And then it's kind of got to wait for it to come. But maybe, I haven't done this yet. I hope they have, like, when it's going to be at various stops, something like that.
I don't know if they have it scheduled, but they put the train in on their normal, they'll assign it to a certain route on a particular date, and they'll just have it mixed in with that route.
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, thanks for the help on that, Larry. I appreciate the call.
My pleasure.
You betcha. 312-981-7200. Talking about good scenes or scapes for your holiday photographs. You know, we just don't have any snow on the ground. Mary Steve, if you could, would you wave a magic wand? Even before I get the chance to ask that question.
I was thinking of that earlier because we did have a couple of decent snows earlier this year.
Yeah.
It's December 12th. We'll get there.
Just head to northern Wisconsin. My husband's up there right now. 2.5 feet they have. And
seriously.
He said it's snowing again today.
Well, I know my friends in Minneapolis and, heck, central Wisconsin got that first batch of snow.
Oh,
I don't know if some of it melted off. But, yeah, they were in those waves. We've been dodging it pretty well. And look at today. It's what's the temperature now, Steve? It was, last I checked, 30.
Yeah, 30 degrees.
30 degrees.
Come on, now, wait a minute. We had a very cold November.
We had a lousy October, November.
We had no fall.
We had a couple of very early snows.
It was too cold and rainy. It was awful.
Snowing on Halloween.
Yeah.
So, canceling Halloween for snow. for God's sakes.
Remember that debate?
Yeah. We can wait a little bit.
You know, that's what we should have done. For those of you that really wanted to get these beautiful Christmas pictures, you should have done them October 31st.
Right.
You weren't trick-or-treating. It's too dangerous.
Dress the kids up like elves.
Quick, kids, I'm going to throw on this suit. It's red. Trust me, it'll work in 2 months. Just hang in there. John Cosley's Zoo in Wheaton, great place to get your photo taken. The Lions at the Art Institute, thank you very much, 630, of course. Lake Catherine and Palos Heights, Google it. It's breathtaking. Lake Catherine and Palos Heights, a huge waterfall, bridges, very famous for weddings and prom pictures. Somebody sent us a picture of Union Station. That's a gigantic, gorgeous tree. I haven't been to Union Station in a while. I don't travel through there anymore. Hi, John. Hi, crew. The Woodstock Square has and always is one of the most classically beautiful places to visit at Christmas time in Chicagoland, with all of the shops, restaurants, and pubs surrounding the gorgeously lit park, with its lit-up trees lighting up the walkways within the park, Santa's house there for the kids, and the twinkling lit-up great gazebo, the horse-drawn sleigh rides around the square. It's just a romantic throwback for a couple or a nice day or night out for the family, says Joe in Richmond. He's obviously talking about Woodstock. More here. Should I take a look at these? Tony Accardo's former house on Franklin.
I don't think you want to do that for Christmas.
Is completely over the top, and the cars line up. He's the mobster, right?
Yeah.
Tony Accardo?
Right.
So where he used to live? Seriously? Are they pulling my leg here? Do they really light up Tony Accardo's house?
They might.
On Franklin and River Forest, and the cars line up for blocks. John, I just looked online for the Botanic Gardens, and the Botanic Gardens sold out. You got to go on the secondary market for that. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to disappoint.
Can you do that on StubHub?
Everything it seems to have a market for itself. John, The Holiday is a Good Night Book. Hey, John, The Holiday is a Good Night Book. I don't know what you're saying there, but this one is maybe more on point. I was talking about The Holiday movie. John, I love The Holiday. It takes me away to two special places. It's light, it's happy, and I could use a little corny in my life. One of the places in England, one of the places in Los Angeles. And when Jack Black was talking about it yesterday, I got a chuckle. Came home, my family was just wrapping up their watching of the film. You know, we have so many media outlets today. You can watch anything, anytime, anyway, anywhere. Do you know what the average... I have in front of me what the utility bills are, but it made me think of our media bills. According to move.org, a website that helps people with moves. So I guess this makes sense that they would pay attention to what the utility bills are where you're moving. Illinois residents have the seventh least expensive utilities in the United States. In Illinois, I don't know what your utility bill is, but the average in this state is $363 a month. $363 a month for gas, electric, and water combined. Hawaii tops the list, $588. New Mexico has the lowest at $344, but look at that. The lowest in the nation is $344. We're at $362. The average monthly cost of utilities in the U.S. is $398. And again, we are at $363. So we're below average and close to the bottom. On average, residents pay $110 for electricity, $72 for natural gas, $70 for water, $60 for the internet, and $85 for cable TV. So they're saying that your media bill, if you will, internet and cable, is $145. That doesn't include your cell service, though. I don't know. My media bill's over $200.
I was going to say, where are they? That's got to be about the most basic you can pay, right?
The average cost of cable in the U.S. is $60.
And do we? And does that count as a utility now?
They are including it as now that you mention it. Utilities are essential things. Maybe that's so categorized.
Phones were utilities, I guess, but
$143. Yeah, they're adding it in. $14 for trash and recycling, $60 for the internet, $85 for cable, The average, and then later it says the average cost for cable is 60. So I don't know what they're talking about there, but 60 to 80 bucks is the average cable bill in America. Elif, do you have a cable bill? Are you tapped into the cable?
Yeah, I do. I pay for internet, which is my media, and that's how I get my TV too, because I have Amazon Prime and I have Netflix, Spotify.
Do you have a guess as to what your total media bill is then?
Probably like around 35. So 35 plus
your phone,
40
plus.
Oh yeah, plus my phone would be services. Another 30, so 70, but 100.
About 100 bucks a month.
Yeah, just about.
I don't want to hearken back to anything because I try not to hearken.
I'm scared.
But once upon a time, the only media bill you had was your phone bill.
Mm.
And Elif
your
said,
landline phone, right?
See, even that question insults me.
That's no, I meant seriously.
There was no other kind. That's all there was. And the thing is, that's all there was until as recently as about 15 minutes ago. This business of cell phones and then cable and then satellite and then internet and then premium services and then streaming are all inventions of the last couple of decades.
Okay, I don't want to be you, John, but Elif, there was a time when John and I couldn't buy our phones.
We had that's right, you leased it.
We had to get it from the phone company.
Wait, what? Like the Zach Morris kind?
I don't know what a Zach Morris
kind is. I love how
nobody
said anything because you didn't know who that was.
What's Zach Morris?
Zach Morris is a character from Saved by the Bell, so they call those phones the big phones, like the car phone size, the Zach Morris phone.
Got it.
We call it that.
Even before then, all you had was a landline, and it was drilled into your kitchen wall, and you didn't own that. The phone company did, and you paid a lease fee for the use of the phone.
Like the, I was about to say the rotisserie, the... What kind of phone is
that
called?
The rotary phone.
Yes.
You had to pay for long distance.
And you had to pay for long distance. And I mean, so since the invention of electricity to 1970-something, that's how we lived. Maybe 1980.
It was simpler and probably much easier back then.
It was less expensive. And I don't know that I want to go back then because I couldn't watch movies on demand, right? I couldn't watch the stuff that we can watch now is fantastic. But man, do we pay for it.
I feel like we take things for granted a lot more, though, this day and age.
Thank you. That's all I needed from you.
Yeah, no
That's
problem.
That's all I needed.
But back in the college days, the only good thing was we didn't have to talk to our parents every day. We could only talk to them on Sundays when it was cheaper.
You could tell your roommate, Tom, funny. You could just go, I'm not here, I'm not here.
I know. Now
my roommates would say, he's not here.
Now they can find you everywhere, all the time.
I've been texting my son today because his last final paper is due today. Right.
Leave him alone.
And then we had a roommate who didn't really. He lived with his girlfriend, but his parents thought he lived with us.
Sure, that happened.
So Mark had a closet in our house. So his parents would call him. We'd go, let me see if he's in his room. We'd open the closet door. Nope, it's not. Mark's not here.
Can you imagine when you were in college and you had projects to do, term papers or whatever, if your parents would have been buzzing you on your cell phone that they know you had with you at all times, so you can't escape
texting
it.
You
hey, how's that term paper going? Did you get the thing I sent you? Oh, man.
Why do you think there's anxiety in the world today?
I do not want
Did
that
Did you ever
scene.
Hear the word anxiety when you were in college?
Did not, I had plenty no, of it. Good
but we
Lord.
We didn't know. It was just called we were a little stressed out.
and you know, we were at times. I mean, I don't know what your experience was like, but there were times I was pert near miserable.
Yeah, but we didn't have anybody to talk to about it because we never texted.
So, Steve, do you think
so we turned to the no-dos?
Yeah. So, do you think that the phone is more ameliorating, Steve, or is it more anxiety for your son because he can connect with you?
I'll ask him.
Text him right now.
I say total anxiety.
I'm going to play a commercial. You could get an answer in no time. John, here's our photograph for Christmas. It's our card atop Sydney Harbor Bridge, across the Sydney Harbor Bridge. The fire pollution is just starting to get there. We were on the same cruise that went to New Zealand where the volcano was, but earlier in the year. Wow, look at that. So here they are in Sydney atop the bridge. It's breathtaking view. Yeah, that's what you did. That's a Christmas card. But now the haze from the fire and the volcano is getting to that spot. John Macy's, the Walnut Room, the Christmas tree, Christmas photos.
So, yeah.
What's the matter? that's funny.
Talking on the air about our text on your finals, do they ease you or cause more anxiety? Then he says they cause more anxiety, introduces a third party that wasn't there before.
Your son said that to you.
Yeah. So well, I wrote back, I'll leave you alone. How's it going?
Steve, you know that that's not leaving him alone, right?
And he says, finals are over, so it's done. When are you coming home?
Are you coming home? 1109 WGN. Morning, it's John Williams. Lovely day outside. We're enjoying the view out our 18th story Skyline Studio, looking out at the lake. Various shades of blue and green in the water and white and blue in the sky. Hope you're enjoying your day. We're here weekdays from 9 to noon, and on social media, I'm WGN King John. We were looking at media bills just a little while ago and cable costs. Move.org has a list out of what the average utility costs are for people around the country. And as it turns out, as bad as Illinois and Chicago is about everything, our utility bills are pretty low relative to the rest of the country. The average is about $398. We pay on average $362 for your cable, internet, water, gas, electricity, trash, and recycling. Your average total for all of that is $363 in Illinois. That just sounds low to me. The more I think about that, I think we're paying more than that, and it's just me and Brenda. Granted, we've got a lot of media going on in my house, but that sounds low to me.
My phone bill and cable bill is way beyond that.
That's what I think.
It is way
I think my media
that.
Bill has to be around $300 when I put them all together. And I guess we could cut HBO. We keep, you know, when Game of Thrones went away, we said, that's it, we're done. I don't know if we've done that yet. I noticed a Netflix bill the other day, and I said, Griff, what's this? He goes, yeah, we got Netflix. I said, really? He said, yeah, don't you watch that? We got Amazon Prime, too.
Got to have Hulu.
I don't have time to watch all of the things I'm paying for.
There was a great Black Friday deal last year for Hulu, where it was $1 a month for a year.
Seriously?
Yeah. I watched one show.
But about our media consumption, and producer Olive scratching her head at how simple it used to be. Limited, less expensive and simple. Now it's awesome and fabulous and overwhelming and really expensive. So it's good and bad either way. Good morning, John. For Comcast Cable, 5 years ago, I paid 116 basic, internet and Wi-Fi. 116 basic, internet, Wi-Fi, 5 years ago. Then it was raised to 130, same service. Then they raised it to 167, same service. Last month it went to 197, same basic, no movie channels, internet and Wi-Fi, just under $200.
And here come the Cubs.
And you'll pay for that. John, that Zach Morris phone that producer Elif was talking about is what we used to call the brick cell phone.
And also, Mary Sandberg immediately texted me, and she said, I knew what the Zach Morris phone was.
Oh, she's too cool for school.
You're such a youngster.
The brick phone. And then there was the bag phone, where you'd kind of wear it like a fanny pack, and it would all fit in there. It was a good look. 630 said, when you arrived somewhere, you called, and then rang twice, and then hung up, and there was no long-distance charge. Okay, just think about that for a second. If you're under a certain age, you don't know what I just said. But the rest of us are just now reminded that when you got somewhere long-distance, if you flew to the other part of the country or you drove away to school to make sure you got there, you could pick up a phone and call, but then you've got to put a bunch of coins in or incur some sort of long-distance charge. Or call home, ring, stops ringing. That was the signal that you got there. No charge.
You talk about anxiety of texts. I had a college neighbor in a dorm, and he and his girlfriend would call each other, let the phone ring once and hang up to let them know they were thinking of each other all day long.
Oh, Lord. That's a little weird.
Well, we thought so.
630, relative to your utility topic, there is a bill proposed in Springfield to enact an entertainment tax similar to Chicago. A tax would apply to streaming services, including gaming, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, the Disney Channel, Apple Plus. So those things that you're now getting and paying for, I guess you're not paying an additional entertainment tax on. They want to tax those services. They want to tax everything, including all services. If your accountant does something for you, if your plumber does something for you, that's a service. But they don't, if it's a $100 bill, say, but it's $108 because there's an 8% tax on the service, like you might if you bought an item at a store. But that's something everybody's considering now.
Well, it is a lot that we don't tax what we do tax and what we don't, right?
Sure. But if we were going to correct that, another way to go would be to tax things less. I mean, really, I don't want to even the score,
oh,
Steve.
Well, I'm sure if they're going to start taxing haircuts, they'll start taxing food less. That would only be fair.
Right. Yeah, give me that, and then I'll wear my hair long. 414 texted
drive
in about
your Prius.
It's 11:14. Lots of text today about two other topics. One is Kim Fox and what she said yesterday. It jumped out at me a little bit. Maybe it jumped out at you. What's your reaction to Kim Fox's statement yesterday? We were talking a little while ago about good places to go to get your holiday pictures done. Maybe it's not too late to crank out a Christmas card. Maybe you just are coming into the city and you want to see a nice backdrop. Lots of calls and texts in the city and the suburbs. I just got an email from the folks at Winter's Jazz Club, and I don't know if this is sold out, but I'll just tell you what I know, and if it works for you, enjoy. At Winter's Jazz Club downtown, not too far from where we are. Remember the Tribune Tower? It's just a couple blocks east of there. There's Winter's Jazz Club, and they have a Vince Guaraldi trio doing the Charlie Brown Christmas album with vocals three different times, maybe four on their schedule. Winter's Jazz Club downtown. It's not too far from Carson's Ribs. Sometimes we go to Carson's, get something to eat, and then go over there and listen to the music or vice versa. A little heads up for you on that. Kim Fox yesterday, the governor and other officials were standing in front of the microphones and cameras. They were talking about the fact that we're going to expunge the pot convictions. And I think, by and large, a lot of us have been on the same page about let's not over-prosecute people for marijuana. If it's the average casual user, look, it's going to be legal anyway in January. And for a long time, we've seen this trend coming. It didn't feel like the crime that other crimes feel like. And so let's not fill up the jails or waste the prosecution's time or even compromise people's ability to get a job or get into a school because the application says, have you ever been arrested? Okay, so Kim Fox stands before the cameras yesterday announcing this expungement, which is going to be happening for sure in January, maybe sooner. Anyway, she says this.
As a prosecutor who's previously prosecuted these cases, we must own our role in the harm that we have caused, and particularly to communities of color.
Maybe it's been disproportionate. In fact, of course it's been disproportionate. It has affected families of color more. But if I may for just a moment, never mind that. What I'm talking about is the first part of that statement. She says we need to own the harm that we've created. I don't know who the we is on that, but if that's county or state prosecutors whose job it is to prosecute people who have broken the law, I'll bet if you're one of those prosecutors, you don't exactly feel like you were the problem. 847 texted in after we played that earlier. John, that Kim Fox statement was blatantly political. 815, John Williams, having your pot record expunged is like all of us good Catholic kids who couldn't eat meat on Friday until we could. Our records were expunged. Yeah, I don't know what happens if you go to, you die, you're a Catholic, you used to eat meat on Fridays. I don't know what it's like on the other side. 847, Kim Fox continues to burn all of the bridges, except for those charged and convicted with pot. This 847 texter, I just wonder what your reaction to that statement is. I mean, did that kind of jump out at you a little bit? My number is 312-981-7200. Call or text me right now. What was your reaction to that? Or maybe good for her that she's stepping up and owning it, right? I mean, I guess that's the other side of the coin. But really, we need to own, I don't know. Elif, play that again. Play the, just take it from the top, the Kim Fox statement.
As a prosecutor who's previously prosecuted these cases, we must own our role in the harm that we have caused, and particularly to communities of color.
Yeah, that's the way she put it. What's your reaction to that? 847 said, one of the most ridiculous waste of time and money. If the law is, now I don't agree with all of this, but I'll read it to you. If the law was broken at the time, you have a record. I would like my speeding tickets expunged and my fines returned for speeding on I-90 when the limit was 55.
A lot of times you can do that. You get your speeding tickets expunged.
Seriously?
Yeah.
People do take the time and effort to do that, I guess.
Huh? Well, let me text my son. He's going through it right now.
You're making that up.
No, I'm not. He got a speeding ticket, and then, you know, they allow you to go through a class and get it expunged.
Oh, I guess so. Okay, well, that's what that is. That's an expungement, huh? If you take the class, then it's no longer on your record. It's expunged.
Exactly.
And that's good for your insurance, right?
Exactly. It's good for your dad's insurance.
It was 55 miles an hour on I-90. Now it's 65 or 70. If I was doing 68 and got a ticket, I'd sure like my money back. Break the law, pay the price, John. What's so hard to understand? Let's go back to Prohibition days and expunge those records, too. All right, Brian, I get your point.
The point is, though, it's not about not having gone through the punishment. You know, you were fined or you did whatever. You're not going to get your money back. The point is that those convictions, which we now declare to be minor and legal
now,
are hurting people now 20 years later, 10 years later, 5 years later, keeping them from getting jobs. That's a real problem.
You know,
I don't know why people would be so begrudgingly, you know, unwilling to allow for that, to allow for someone to get a chance to get a job if they've been held back because they smoked pot when they were 19 years old. No. I don't know what the big harm is there.
I don't know, but does that really happen? Like, that's the other thing. Again, I need you to call or text me and tell me if that happens, right? Like, you didn't get the loan, you didn't get into the school, you didn't get the job, you didn't get the promotion because you'd been arrested for pot. I mean, does it really follow you that much? Is it that big of a deal? I just thought it was kind of embarrassing and maybe a little expensive.
Well,
think it followed you like that.
A lot of application processes now are, you know, they're automatic or they're computerized.
Oh, that's right. The machine just sees the box.
You check the box, you're done. You don't get a chance to make your own case.
Okay, so then you don't check the box, but then if they find out, you've lied on your application.
That's worse.
Hey, Bob, you're on WGN Radio. Thanks for calling in. What can we do for you?
Yeah, John, I was state's attorney for 20 years, and all of us were doing exactly what we were statutorily authorized and required to do. And for the state's attorney to put that out there, that we should somehow apologize for that, when that was our duty and that was the law at that time, it is really a false statement. And it really undermines a lot of the great work that's been done by a lot of the men and women for very many, many years.
Well, you're exactly the animal I was wondering about, Bob. I said if I was a county prosecutor, I don't know that I would appreciate her characterization that we need to own the harm we've done. I mean, listen, it was the law. If anybody did something wrong because those laws were unjust, then I guess it would be legislators or maybe police officers who were catching more people of color than not. But if you're a prosecutor and they hand you the case, what are you supposed to do?
Right. I mean, you're statutorily authorized, unless there's some reason not to prosecute the case that you develop once the case has been put into the system. And the other point that she makes, I would really like to know the number of convictions that she's talking about, because the number of people arrested and convicted for marijuana has, during my experience, was very small as compared to the number of people arrested and convicted for other more serious controlled substances.
I think they're talking
thousands.
Hundreds of thousands, a couple hundred thousand.
Well, when you compare that to the overall number of cases, I'd like to know what the percentage is.
Your point is that this is a little grandstanding. It's not that big a group of people.
Yes.
I understand that, Bob. I appreciate the phone call. That's why I'm saying if you or somebody you know didn't get the thing because of their pot conviction, I'd love to know about that, or their arrest, even if you weren't convicted. 312-981-7200. You can call or text that line. I'm just chuckling. I was looking at the president's Twitter account. The vast array of things he's commenting on is stunning. Your 17-year-old cannot tweet with that 70-year-old man. He is able to comment on and move markets around the world. China, hello. He's able to comment on the impeachment proceedings. He's able to troll 16-year-old Greta Thunberg, the Time Person of the Year and climate advocate. He's congratulating people that have been elected. He's championing TV shows. Did you know it's Throwback Thursday? He just literally posted a picture of him with Ronald Reagan, black and white, with ties and jackets on, looking snazzy. It's Throwback Thursday, and he's doing that. I don't know what else presidents do, but I don't know how you can do all of that and this. We were talking a little while ago about Kim Fox, the Cook County State's Attorney, and the statement she made, which was that we need to own the harm we've done by prosecuting all of these pot cases that are now being expunged. I have no problem with the expungement, and I think we have been prosecuting unfairly and too much. But I'm not sure that it's the prosecutor's fault. She wants to get reelected, though, as Cook County State's Attorney. She hasn't had a great year. So now she's saying stuff like that to sort of own the wrongs and plow forward.
Well, to her, in her defense, she was saying this before Jussie Smollett.
Fair. I don't know that she said that it was the language that she literally said yesterday is what I'm taking exception to today. Right? I mean, here we go again. Hey, producer Elif, do you have Kim Fox cut one? Kim Fox cut one, the one that we played a while ago, just the first sentence of that. Go ahead, Elif.
As a prosecutor who's previously prosecuted these cases, we must own our role in the harm that we have caused.
And a prosecutor called in a little while ago, just before the news, and he said, 20 years I've been a county prosecutor. I don't appreciate that. We were not causing the harm. We were doing our jobs. Kevin, you're on WGN Radio. What did you want to say, Kevin? You're on the air.
Yes, sir. You know, I'm not going to speak on pot because that's to me is a minor thing.
Yeah.
But that state attorney called in, I bet you he won't tell you how many times they prosecuted cases when they knew their witnesses was lying, and instead of withdrawing the charges and letting the person go, they tried to coach him up to win, because all they want to do is win. It's a game to the prosecutors. So that guy can call in with all that honorable statement and we just did our job. But I know for a fact in dealing with the criminal system that the prosecutor, his oath is to hold the law. So if he realizes that somebody is innocent, he should be the first one to withdraw the case. But look at Cook County. I bet you won't find too many cases where the prosecutor say, hey, we find the witnesses are telling the lie, this person's innocent, we withdraw the charges. They don't do that. They try to lock you up at all costs. They don't care whether you did it or not, especially when it comes to African-American males. So all that mess they talking about, you know, they did their job. I'm not trying to hear that.
You're hearing about that a lot? Do you think that happens a lot?
I went through it. I didn't hear about it.
You were innocent?
I went through it, and I saw it done to other people.
Yeah.
I had witnesses against me that were lying, and they knew they were lying. They coached them up. Bottom line, They coached them up. So whether the person is innocent or guilty, that's not supposed to be the situation. It's supposed to be the situation that the people are telling the truth or not. That's what's supposed to be the situation.
Kevin, what happened to your case?
I was found guilty of my case, not done time. But the witnesses lied. You know what I'm saying? What happened to Wade? It's like this. Cases happen. They charge you with something. The charges may be egregious. But when you get into the case and find out, hey, it wasn't like that. People got into a fight. It turned to something else. Next thing you know, somebody got hurt. They don't care about none of that.
Yeah.
They don't care about that. All they want to know is you're guilty. That's it. Whether you're guilty or not, if the witnesses can tell the truth and the jury believe them or the judge believe them, that's all they care about. They want to win. It's a game to them. Not about, you know, truth. It's not about justice. It's about winning.
I'm really glad you're listening today, Kevin. Thanks for the call, man.
Yes, sir.
You have a good day now. Let's go to Dean on line one. Hey, Dean, you're on WGN. Talk to me, Dean. You're on the air.
Yes, John Williams, pleasure to talk to you. Yes, just to follow up with the last caller. I'm 47 years old. I'm a white male. Not to get off the point of marijuana convictions, but I was arrested for a theft, which I was scrapping. I was down on my luck, and I had to do what I had to do, and I was scrapping for metal, and I got arrested in Hillside and charged with theft. And there were no signs, and I fought the case for 2 years. I actually paid a lawyer because I remember my father, before he passed away, said, son, you don't want a theft on your record. And it really, it wasn't a theft. I didn't know I was even stealing it. I thought it was garbage. So I fought the case in District 4, Maywood Court. 2 years cost me thousands of dollars. Finally, the state's attorney pled down to a misdemeanor trespassing charge, and I was relieved. However, I just trusted that the state's attorney knew what they were doing and went on about my business. I applied for a job about 2 years later, and got hired and was working and doing fine, and this theft charge came up, and I was shocked. And I tried to expunge it, or how do I fix it, or what do I do? How do I go back? It was such a nightmare. They told me I had to go back to the Illinois State Police. I don't even know where they were involved. I don't even know how they were involved. So I do understand that what the last gentleman was saying, and I think it goes, you know, it goes either way. I think it's not racially specific.
Well, maybe it happens more often to people of color. I believe that it does. You say you're not. What was the ultimate outcome of your case?
John, to be honest with you, the ultimate outcome of my case was it's still on my record as a theft.
Yeah.
I lost two great jobs because of it. And thankfully now I have a job with an owner who has been through similar situations, and he kind of bypassed my background. So I got lucky. But I know there's a lot of people that just assume that the state's attorney is going to, you know, do what they say. And it was so difficult, John. My sister wanted me to hire lawyers to... And then call the state police and file paperwork. And then I seen the thing online for free expungement, and it's nothing. It's not free. I don't know what
that is. I believe that, too. By the way, in the case of the marijuana convictions, in at least two of the categories, if you have that marijuana conviction or arrest, that will automatically be expunged in time. But if it's in association with another crime, and often it is, say there's theft or there's battery or something else is going on, then it's not so sure. But I know that's not your case, Dean, but I appreciate your phone call, my friend. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sharing that.
You got it, John. You have a good day.
You have a good day. 1141 on WGN. Ellis said, you want to give away those tickets, John? You got a pair of tickets to the Q Brothers Christmas Carol. This is that wildly entertaining hip-hop twist on Charles Dickens' classic and all the underscored by beats spun by a live DJ at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater. I don't know if this is more like hip-hop or more Dickens Shakespeare, but they've mashed them up, it sounds like. You get to pick the seats you want through December 23rd. You want to go? 312-981-7200. Caller number 12 is in the 12 days of Christmas. So a pair of tickets to Q Brothers Christmas Carol. This is at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier. And it's the Dickens classic underscored by beats spun by a live DJ. I've read that it's actually a pretty good show. And tickets are yours, 312-981-7200. Maybe the news click today, and still, oh, by the way, let's just talk to Brooke real quick. Hey, Brooke, it's John. You're on WGN Radio. Wait, hold on a second, Brooke. I think she's talking to Elif. She doesn't want to go on, but she does want the tickets. Fair enough, Brooke, you win. She gets the tickets to the show at Navy Pier. Steve, I don't know if you're going to do the news anymore, but I know that Steve Grzanich was doing the story about candy bars, and they want to, it's not going to happen for sure, but there's conversations about putting on candy bars, the amount of exercise it would require to burn off the calories consumed in that.
Like how many times you'd have to walk around the world?
Well, hopefully not that. But for instance, on a, what was that, average 230 calorie candy bar, it would require 43 minutes of walking or 26 minutes of jogging, something like that. And I guess that would be as helpful as seeing the calorie items that we're now used to on fast food menus. You look up there and you see Big Mac. Don't they have the sodium or the calorie count on a lot of things now? And I used to not want that. I'm acclimated to it. I think Steve always wanted that.
I'm eating soup. Sharon picked up soup from Zupa's last night.
Yeah.
And made the choice in part because of the numbers.
Yeah.
Because she didn't know, like, how many calories were in some of the soups. So she said, I had no idea. So we picked this one.
Yeah.
It's broth.
So you get that low-calorie soup, which really isn't that good, and may be high in sodium. Okay, but that's, you know, I'm not going to fight that. If that's the way it's going to go, that's the way it's going to go. But I mentioned earlier that, according to my friend Bill Bryson, the way to shop for healthy foods is simply to shop the perimeter of your grocery store. Now, maybe you need a can of soup or a box of cereal, so you got to go down the aisles. But he says in the book, according to one physician researcher that he was consulting, there's a really easy way to do food shopping in supermarkets. Just stick to the outside aisles. The aisles in between are almost entirely filled with processed foods. If you stick to the outside, you could automatically have a healthier diet. Okay, so that's kind of helpful, but really, the grocery store is filled with stuff because people want or need the things inside. So you still got to go down the aisles, right? It's easy to write a book and say don't do that. If you're shopping for a family, you have to go down the aisles. Let's not guilt mom because she's buying some pasta noodles halfway down in the Italian section. But then he goes on to say this. It is often written that eating a daily helping of processed meat increases your risk for colorectal cancer by 18%. And that doubtless is true. This paragraph is done to mitigate some of the anxiety you and I have about the food we eat. You go, oh my gosh. If you eat processed meat, you increase your chance of getting cancer by 18%.
What's processed meat to you?
Hot dogs, bologna sandwiches, for that matter, those Ziploc bags of ham, turkey, and roast beef that are so yummy.
How about the turkey deli that comes in a giant piece of plastic that they carve up at the deli station?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm serious. I don't either. I'm wondering because it's what I live on.
Julia.
It is.
Well, listen to this, Steve. As Julia Beliz of Vox points out, a person's lifetime risk of cancer is about 5%, colorectal cancer. Is about 5%, and eating processed meat every day appears to boost a person's absolute risk of cancer by one percentage point to 6%. That's the 18% increase of the 5% lifetime risk. Oh, so that's different. It didn't go from 5% to, say, 23%. It went 5% to 6%, but that 1% increase is 18% of 5%. If you're following at home. So, Bryson writes, put another way, if 100 people eat a hot dog or bacon sandwich every day over the course of a lifetime, one of them will get colorectal cancer in addition to the 5 who would have gotten it anyway. That's not a risk you may want to take, but it's not a death sentence either. Well, that's kind of reassuring to know, right? Because literally, at the Chris Kendall market I was at the other day, they had these amazing bratwurst and Italian sausages, and they put them on buns, and they've got that German mustard going on, and it's steaming out, and it's cold, and it's physically impossible not to get in that line and eat one of those suckers. And I did, and I enjoyed it for the time that I ate it. And then immediately I was thinking, wow, I wish I hadn't have done that. And not because of anything other than I thought, well, that's not good for me. And that was just one bratwurst at one Chris Kindle this year. I don't eat that stuff every day. But I'm telling you, I do that to myself. And I think what we do is we take away our ability to enjoy foods. It's okay to have a candy bar. It's okay to have a hot dog. Really, I love hot dogs. I never eat hot dogs anymore because, doggone it, I think they're terrible for me. And this guy just says, I'm just reading from this thick book I bought, if you eat a hot dog every single day, you might be the 1 in 100 people who might get cancer. And that's if you eat one every day. But 99% chance you won't. So eat whatever you want. But I don't want you to beat yourself up about the occasional Snicker bar or bratwurst at the beer fest.
Yeah, kind of along those lines, the doctor told me to, if I have a craving, to just go with it. Because you don't always have cravings.
It's a craving.
Just have it once.
Oh. Does the craving, when you eat the thing, then satisfy it? Like you just say, now I want to have another one,
No, afterwards you're like, okay, I don't want another one.
I feel that way about Ann Sather's cinnamon buns, which are one of God's gifts, right? Those things are amazing.
I've never had one, but I know where it is.
Don't ever have one.
Okay.
If you do, you will be like me, and you will think about it all the time. But when I have one, and I'll get one of those suckers, I'll cut it in half and eat that, and that's pretty dang good. I'm good to go for like a few months, but it's always there. It's kind of in my inventory of, wow, If I knew I was going to die tomorrow, I would be there today. Those are some good groceries. More calls and texts about Kim Fox than any other topic on the show today. I guess I'm not surprised. They do that pot convictions expungement thing. I said, well, does that really follow people? Say, does this really matter if you get your record expunged? 847 texted in. Hey, John, my sister was denied a job as a dog walker through Rover.com because of a marijuana paraphernalia charge from when she was 17. In Illinois, 17-year-olds charged as adults. That was the only charge on her background check. My understanding is the marijuana paraphernalia charges will not automatically be expunged. That's silly, if you ask me.
Yeah, do they think that she's going to get high, walk the dog, and not pick up the poop? Is that, like, the worst problem in the world?
Right. And it's not.
I shouldn't be laughing about this.
I think some of this is comical. And it's not that you'll be high on the job for which we're hiring you. I think what it is if you're the kind of person that broke the law, we don't want you working for us because who knows what you'll do when you get here. And if you said, yeah, but I was 17, I was smoking pot. Can I walk your dog? Yeah, but that's on these automatic job application screener things. It doesn't care.
Dog walkers are likely going into empty homes, retrieving the dogs, right?
I guess, sure, right. So, but think about that. So then is the insinuation that a person that smoked marijuana more inclined to steal your stuff?
I don't know, but I'm saying now that won't be a question.
Yeah, right.
I would say no, because no.
Because they're high, man. They don't want to steal your stuff. They just want to lay around. Hey, John, as a supervisor, when we did a background check, I remember at least three occasions that the applicants had weed possession on the record and we could not hire them. And all of them happened when they were younger, older now, couldn't hire them. John, what happened, though? Kim Fox said, we need to own our responsibility as prosecutors for this unjust practice of prosecuting and convicting people for marijuana. 219 says, what happened to being responsible for your own actions? You knew we'd get that. And 630 said this, you're wrong, John. Prosecutors have a tremendous amount of leeway in which cases they want to prosecute. White people smoke as much pot as blacks. That's true. Yet they don't go to jail as often as black people do. That's true, too. Your callers are predominantly white males who don't like Kim Fox telling the truth. The harm that was created, 312, that's the Kim Fox quote, was that of those who broke the law, not of those who upheld it. Lawbreakers are lawbreakers. And 773 reminded us that the governor said in his speech that we need to make up for the mistakes that we made, too, says Wally, the trucker. Wally, I didn't hear the governor say that, but if he did, there's that. It's 11:59. She's just down the hall. I'm in Studio A. She's in the studio that is my preferred Studio D, getting ready with the business lunch.
Oh, this is your preferred studio. I'm so sorry I took it from you.
Well, it wasn't that. I was told this is where we're operating out of now, so we are. How's it going down the hall?
Very nice. I think you left it in very good form over here.
What's coming up?
You know what? We're going to be saving some folks some money. In case you know anybody, any friends or family that might be having trouble paying their energy bills, we're going to have someone from ComEd talk about a resource fair that's happening this weekend that can offer some financial assistance and also some free energy saving kits.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know that that's been as big an issue so far. It's been relatively mild, but you never know when we're going to get the next cold blast, right?
Yeah, we got to prepare for it.
Have a good show. Jisuki is right around the corner with the business lunch.